of the book of Ephesians. Now, the book of Ephesians is a very unusual book. We'll give some introduction to it, and then we'll take a look at chapter 1. Before we begin our lesson, let me remind you again to be in prayer for the other 8 adult classes and their teachers and all the graded units. Verse number 3. We'll take a look at that. I'll read that verse. I'll ask you to join me in reading it aloud. But before we do, let's ask God's blessings again upon our study today. May we, 22nd, 1995, a beautiful story of love based on Ephesians chapter 1, memory verse, verse number 3. I read that verse and then I'll ask you to join me in reading it aloud. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now let's all read that verse prayerfully together. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, again, you know what that verse says to me right off? That verse says to me, we don't have to wait till we get to heaven to have a good time. We enjoy the blessings of God right now, right here, in the nasty now and now. We talk a lot about the sweet by and by. But I want to know about the nasty now and now. I want to know that today, October 22nd, I can take this book, I can read this book, I can listen to God, I can hear what God has to say to me and to say to you, and I can get encouragement, strength, sustenance, fellowship of the Holy Spirit, direction and guidance for my life, and I can read the promises of God and say, thank you, God, for every promise you've made to us. Isn't God good? Isn't the Bible a wonderful book? Now, the book of Ephesians, remember, Paul was in the Roman prison when he wrote this book. Shackled in the maritime prison. Let me tell you about that prison. I've been there. I wasn't a prisoner there, but I visited that prison. It's still just like it was probably 2,000 years ago in the city of Rome. The only entry into the prison, which is just a cell underground, stone, damp, dark, dreary, only one entry, and it's a hole big enough for a man's body to be let down in, and whatever rations that they would give a prisoner in Rome. And Paul wrote not only the book of Ephesians, but he wrote the book of Philippians and said, rejoice in the Lord. Here he was in a Roman prison saying, rejoice. And some of us find it hard to rejoice in nice, clean, comfortable homes and cars with good jobs and good incomes and friends and family and a good church. Hey, folks, let's take inventory and see how much we have to be thankful. Isn't the Lord good? Paul is writing from a prison cell in Rome and writing to the church at Ephesus, one of the 7 churches in Asia Minor. Remember the book of the Revelation, chapters 2 and 3. Give us the 7 churches and the message that that the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, had for the 7 churches which were in Asia. One of those churches was the church at Ephesus. And you know what Jesus said to that church? Jesus said, repent and do the first works all over again because you've left your first love. You know, it's a sad thing when a Christian loses the punch and the wonder of it all. I pray, God, we would never lose the wonder that became ours the day we got saved. Do you remember the day you got saved? I was 11 years old when I got saved. And God did a work in my life that I've never gotten over. In fact, I haven't wanted to get over it. I'm enjoying it more today than I did 52 years ago. It gets sweeter every day, even in spite of problems, trials, difficulties, heartaches, pressures, anxieties, fears, and all the rest. Hey, that doesn't change God's peace in your heart and mind, because we're not depending on external things. We're on the internal things. It's what's on the inside that counts. So Paul, writing from a prison cell in Rome, writes to the church at Ephesus that Jesus also wrote a letter to. I refer you again when you have time to read Revelation chapters 2 and 3. He names the seven churches, and one of them is the church at Ephesus. The writer, of course, as we said, is Paul, about 64 A.D. That would be some 30 years plus after the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus. The theme of this book, the wealth, the walk, and the warfare of the Christian. Now remember those three words, the wealth, the walk, and the warfare. We have a great wealth in Jesus Christ. Folks, we're rich in Christ. It's a wealthy position that we have in Him, spiritually and otherwise in many cases. But the walk that we have is a daily walk led by the Holy Spirit. And then Paul says, hey, there's going to be a warfare. We're on a battleground. We're in a war, lady. Listen, the moment you got saved, you entered the army of the Lord. You entered a battle zone. When we get to chapter 6, Paul will say, we wrestle not with flesh and blood or against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. So our wealth is in Jesus Christ. Our walk is in the Holy Spirit. Our warfare brings us the victory through the power of the Holy Spirit. So as we study the book of Ephesians, remember wealth, walk, and warfare. The key thought is the two words, in Christ. Now, I'm going to suggest that you, sometime between now and next Sunday, read through all six chapters. And as you go through all chapters, wherever you find the two words, in Christ, put a circle around it. In Christ. Paul talks about being in Christ. And no less than 27 times, he uses that phrase, in Christ. That's the key thought. The key verse is the verse we just looked at, verse number 3 of chapter 1, that we'll look at again in a few moments. Now, somebody called this book The Grand Canyon of the Bible. That's a great title or description. The Grand Canyon of the Bible. We're ready now with that background, knowing it was the Apostle Paul in a Roman prison under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit who wrote to the church at Ephesus, which was one of the churches of Asia Minor that Jesus himself addressed in Revelation chapter 2 and said, I have somewhat against you because you have left your first love. Now let's look at chapter 1. I want to read it, then I'll come back and give you some exposition. Verse 1 says, Paul, introducing himself, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Remember, that's the key thought of the whole book. In everything is in Christ. Verse 4. According as he hath chosen us from before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in Christ, or in the beloved. Christ is the beloved. Verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on the earth, even in Christ, in him. In whom, that is again in Christ, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. In whom, that is in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom, that is in Christ, also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore, verse number 15, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. What a remarkable passage of Scripture. I mean, it runs the whole gamut, ladies and gentlemen, from A to Z, to tell us about our relationship to God through Jesus Christ. Now let's get one thing straight. Everything that God has ever done for us, he's done it through Jesus Christ. Everything God has ever given us, he's given it to us through Jesus Christ. Life, health, salvation, family, home, job, whatever we have today, we cannot boast of it as having received it from any other source. Everything we have today, we've received from God, and it's come through Jesus Christ. Everything God's ever done for the human race, he's done it through Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, whom he gave to die on the tree that you and I might have salvation. So let's just fix it in our minds that what Paul is telling us in Ephesians chapter 1 is how rich, how marvelous, how wonderful, how measureless, how great is the grace of God and the love of God to us in Jesus Christ. He says in verse 1 who he is, Paul. He introduces himself, an apostle. An apostle is one who is sent on a special designated mission. Paul's mission was to take the gospel to the Gentile world. He was the great apostle to the Gentiles, while Peter was the great apostle to the Jewish world. Remember when we studied the book of Acts, we said the first 13 chapters, Peter was at center stage taking the gospel to the Jews. Beginning in the closing verses of chapter 13, Paul steps up on center stage and takes the gospel to the Gentile world. And God has made no difference between Jew and Gentile. He's broken down the middle wall of partition, and a Jew saved just like a Gentile, and a Gentile saved just like a Jew, and God loves you as much as he does the Jew, and he loves us all the same in Jesus Christ. Isn't that good? You know, I used to want to be a Jew, but I found out one day that God gave the same promises to the Gentiles, so I said, I'll be happy just being a Gentile. Amen. You know, we criticize the Jews for loving money. Did you ever offer a Gentile money and he refused it? Check his pulse, honey, he did. I'm saying God loves Jew and Gentile. We are all the same in him. Paul says, I'm introducing myself to you. I'm an apostle. Unashamedly, I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now look at that next phrase, by the will of God. not by Paul's own choosing. Paul didn't choose for God to wrestle him down on the road to Damascus. He said, I'm an apostle by the will of God. To the saints which are at Ephesus, he says, I'm addressing you saints in the church at Ephesus, and to those of you who are faithful in Christ Jesus. You know the greatest thing anybody can say about you and me today? Not that we have all the money in the world, all the power, all the prestige, great positions. The best thing anybody could say about us today, and I pray God, and I'm not looking for the undertaker, I'm looking for the uptaker, but if death slips up on me, and they stretch my form out here at the front, when you come by, I want you to be able to say one thing. Here lies a man that was faithful. Not that built a great church, or presidented a great fellowship, or school, or any of that. Just say, here's a man that was faithful to the Word of God. That's the greatest compliment. Faithful to Jesus. Look at it again. Who are faithful in Christ Jesus. Verse 2 says, grace be to you and peace. Now watch the order. Listen to me. You and I cannot have the peace of God until first God has manifested His grace. It wasn't an accident that the Holy Spirit put them that way. He didn't say peace and then grace. He said grace and then peace. And that's the order. I repeat, you and I cannot have the peace of God until, first of all, the grace of God, which hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the coming of Christ. It's His grace and then His peace. Who is it from? From God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you have all three titles of Jesus in that verse. Look at it. Lord, that's His position as owner, possessor, regulator, creator of all things. That's His lordship. Now every time you say Lord, now listen, you are acknowledging that Jesus is Lord over your life, Lord over your time, Lord over your talent, Lord over your money, Lord over your energy, Lord over your business, Lord over your family, Lord over your car, Lord over your house, Lord over everything. And by the way, you remember Jesus asked His followers one time, He said, why do you call me Lord and then don't do what I say? Now, I want to say something, folks. We have no right to address Him as Lord if we're not doing what He says to do. Because when we say Lord, we say Master. When we say Master, we reckon ourselves as servants. Lord, look at the next one. Jesus, that's His earthly title. Thou shalt call His name Jesus, which means Savior. And Christ is His heavenly title. Deity, divinity. Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3, memory verse. Blessed, that word literally is rendered hilarious. Happy, is happy. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, we're not in heaven this morning, but we're in heavenly places. We're sitting together in the name of Christ. We're in the sanctuary of the Lord. This is a holy place. Ought to be reverenced as such. This is the place that God said, I want to meet with my people. We are met with Him. We're in His presence. In heavenly places in Christ. Now outside Christ there's nothing. Zero. Zero, ladies and gentlemen. But in Christ, everything. Verse number 4. According as He hath chosen us in Him, that is in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. Now let me help you on this predestination business. God did not mark out some for heaven and some for hell. That's not what this verse teaches at all. This verse teaches us that the knowledge of God, now look at this. God looks down through all the eons of time. God sees everything that's ever going to happen. God will not wake up in the morning surprised that it's October the 23rd, tomorrow. In fact, He won't wake up at all because He's not going to go to sleep tonight. He that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. So God looks down through all of eternity, right through this present moment, another 1,000,000 years or 10 billion years, and he sees everything that has ever happened or ever will happen as though it's happening right now. No past, no future, everything happens to him at once. He saw that one day you would call on Jesus Christ to be your Savior. And he said, I'm going to set him out to be made in the image and likeness of my Son, because I know he's going to trust my Son as his Savior. Now that's what predestination is. It's a whosoever wills that God's already set apart. Because he knew, looking down through time, that in 1935, or 1946, or 1951, or 1901, or 1930, sometime, somewhere, you would call on the name of Jesus Christ and ask him to save you. And God said, that's one of mine, and I'm going to predestine him to be made in the likeness and image of my Son, wrapped up in my Son's love. Now you got it straight. I've settled in 30 seconds what the theologians have been arguing over for hundreds of years. Just take God for what he says. Set us apart to be adopted as full-grown sons. Remember Galatians chapter 4, the adoption into the full-grown son status, so that we might become heirs with Jesus Christ and joint heirs with Jesus and heirs of God. I see right now I'm going to run out of time. Let's hurry on a little bit. Let's get down to the next segment here. He says, in whom we have redemption, that is, in Christ. How? Through his blood, not through anything we've done, the forgiveness of sins. Aren't you glad that God can forgive us of our sins this morning? By the way, is anybody here this morning who's never sinned? I'm waiting. Anybody who hasn't sinned lately? I'm waiting. But you know, God's willing and able to forgive us of all of our sins. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't that good? Man, that'd make a foot washer shout. Whatever that means. I've heard that expression all my life. Never did know what it meant, but I've repeated a lot of things I didn't know what meant, and so have you. But anyway, I'm saying to you to know that he is willing, able, and ready the moment we call on him to forgive us. Hey, if you're carrying a heavy load of sin, you don't have to take it back home with you. You can bring it to Jesus, and he'll take it off of you. And you can go home feeling good today. Because he said he would forgive our sins. Let's go down to verse number 13. I don't have time to read again all of it. In whom ye also trusted after ye heard the word of truth. The moment you heard the word of truth out of the word of God and you trusted him, the gospel of your salvation, he says, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, you know what that means? You and I can never be lost. We couldn't, listen, if you're saved today, you couldn't go to hell if you wanted to. I don't think anybody wants to. But if you've been saved by the grace of God, you've been sealed by the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God preserves, you are not, listen, you and I are not keeping ourselves. We'd have been gone a long time ago. Somebody says, well, hold on. No, you can't hold on. Your fingers are too greasy. He's the one that's doing the holding on. We are preserved, kept in him. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation, distress? You know that. No, Paul says, no, in all things we're more than conquerors. I'm glad I'm a conqueror this morning, aren't you? We're not victims. We're victors. We're conquerors. He's got the Holy Spirit seal all around us to preserve us. He says, verse 14, look at this. Which is the earnest. Now, the earnest means down payment. You know, you go buy a car, buy a house, and you put a down payment, and that promises you're going to pay the rest of it. Look at this. Which is the down payment or the earnest of our inheritance. We have a down payment on it. God said, I'm going to give you a down payment. I'm going to assure you with your salvation right now that one day you're going to inherit everything I have. An earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession under the praise of his glory. Now watch this. You're just as saved today as you're ever going to be saved if you've been saved. You'll not be any more saved tomorrow than you are saved today. If you live to be 100, you'll not be any more saved the day you mark your 100th birthday than you are right now. Amen. But your body has not yet been saved. You know why you get mad? Because the old body's there. Amen. You know why you sin? Because the old body's there. Man, we have to wrestle with it every day. Paul talks about putting the body under subjection. I said to you last Sunday, I want to repeat it again today, your flesh and mine is just as rotten as it was the day we got saved. It hasn't improved a bit. But one day the body's going to be saved. And we'll be just like Jesus. Oh, I wish I had some more time. One of these days we're going to set aside a whole day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and just come up here and study the Bible all day. I got to go, but I'll be right back.